Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, Episode 7, The Noodle Dream. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast. I am Roger Anderson, your host. This is the show that's dedicated to helping aspiring home cooks grow their skills and confidence in the kitchen so they can start cooking up memories with family and friends. Thank you very much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. If you'd like to get in touch with me, if you have any questions or feedback about the show as we go through here or questions about recipes, you can send me an email at feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/kitchencounterpodcast. And on Twitter at TKC Podcast. Today, I really want to talk about something that is near and dear to my heart. And this goes back to that theme that I've talked about over and over again about not only getting in the kitchen and trying new foods and cooking for yourself and having fun, but with family and friends, really using the food and the time in the kitchen and the gatherings to start creating memories. And today, I want to share with you one of my favorite memories from growing up, one of my favorite food memories. And then I want to talk about a recipe. I want to share a little bit about that. I just made this last weekend, so I was able to get some current photos and kind of refresh my memory on how to make this. I don't make it really too often, but it's a lot of fun when I do. So today we're going to be talking about a very simple but absolutely delightful food, and that is egg noodles. Now, I know you're thinking egg noodles, and you've probably seen these in the store if you buy egg noodles, and they come in the, you know, the plastic package, and they're kind of wide, wavy, dry pasta that you use maybe for casseroles or soups or things like that. So the egg noodles we're talking about, obviously, are going to be fresh egg noodles. And the really cool thing about these is they're really easy to make. But let me talk a little bit about my memory and why I love egg noodles so much. So my mother's side of the family is German, and more specifically from an ethnic group known as Germans from Russia. So these were ethnic Germans that lived in Russia, the Crimean region, which we should be familiar with today because it's been in the news a lot. That's part of the Ukraine. And if you've been following current events, you know Russia and Ukraine have a bit of a dispute going on over there right now. But in the early 1800s, Alexander, the leader of Russia at the time, who was a grandson, I believe, of Catherine the Great, had an open invitation to German settlers to come and settle in the Crimean region of Russia, which was a relatively new, I guess you could say, hinterland of the Russian Empire. And they wanted to bring in a stable group of people that could start farming the land and putting it to good use for the empire. So Germans started arriving, and my ancestors on my mother's side of the family were Catholic, and they settled in a small village called Rosenthal, Russia, in the Black Sea region of the Crimea, in region today, I think, which would be Sevastopol. So I know that was probably more background than you needed. But the point being, they're ethnic German, so a lot of the food and the food ways that they have are German in nature. But over the 3, 4, or 5 generations that these folks lived in Russia, while they tried to remain as German as possible, they did bring in influence from Russian ways of life, food ways, Tartar food ways. So there are some influences in German-Russian cooking that you don't often find in German cooking. Now, the recipe today, egg noodles, is probably a very typical egg noodle recipe that you're going to find in many, many different food cultures. But the recipe that I'm going to share today was taught to me by my mom, who was taught to her by her mom and so on and so forth back, at least I'm sure, at least 4 generations, probably longer that I can trace at least. In the future, I'm going to be sharing some more of these interesting recipes that come from this Germans from Russia food culture. Some that my mom taught me and some that I'm teaching myself that I didn't have a chance to learn from my mom, or maybe my mom didn't make regularly, but her ancestors probably did. So as we move on to some future episodes, it's going to be a lot of fun introducing you to some of those foods. But for today, we're going to start out with an easy one, if not something that takes a little bit of time and practice. But the egg noodles is something you can make, and it doesn't take any fancy equipment. And once you master an egg noodle recipe like this, you can start to move on to other pastas, and it's going to be really easy. You're going to master most of those techniques with this one. And actually, you're going to impress a ton of people if you tell them you're making homemade egg noodles, or you serve them homemade egg noodles. It's really going to knock their socks off. I can remember my mom standing at the kitchen counter, this orange kitchen counter that we had, and I can visualize in my mind, I can see her as plain as if I were standing there right now, you know, mixing the dough for these egg noodles and turning the dough over and flouring the surface of the counter and kneading the dough and just working it. And I would sit there at the table and watch her do this because it was always kind of an exciting thing when mom made egg noodles. One of the main reasons was because when she got to the point where she actually started cutting the dough into noodles, I would always sneak by and steal one or two to eat them right there raw, which I know you shouldn't do because there's raw eggs in it, but we did it all the time. And my dad would usually do the same thing. He'd follow right after me and grab a couple and eat them. And we'd do this a few times when mom would make egg noodles, and she would always feign kind of anger that we were going to eat all the egg noodles before she had a chance to cook them up. So it was always a fun food that mom would make, and it would usually end up in something like a soup, or oftentimes my mom would just cook the noodles up and then fry them in a little bit of butter. So really the dish was just fried egg noodles, which were absolutely delicious. But what's funny is when I made these up last weekend to prep for the show, and I was cutting the dough into noodles, my wife walked by and grabbed a couple and ate them right there raw. So it was kind of a flashback. And it actually kind of warmed my heart. So, you know, those are the types of memories I'm talking about. It's something as simple as my mom making egg noodles. I can see the parallels when I make the egg noodles, and it's just a connection that I have that I'm really grateful for. So when you can start cooking up stuff, and it doesn't have to be elaborate things, obviously, but you start making these connections that years down the road, you probably don't know how you're going to influence people that eat your food and enjoy your cooking and enjoy the time they spend with you, you know, around the table. So I mentioned the recipe that my mom used for these egg noodles, and there's probably much more efficient ways to do it. And I've actually done a few shortcuts myself, but I'm going to just kind of relay the recipe as my mom did it. And then I'm going to tell you how I kind of do it to save a little bit of time without, totally changing the integrity of the recipe. But egg noodles, very simple, very inexpensive to make. The recipe that I'm going to post on the show notes, which you can find at kitchencounterpodcast.com/7, is a pretty big batch. It's going to call for 4 cups of flour, and that makes a lot of egg noodles, more egg noodles than you'll probably be able to eat in one sitting. But the good news is, because it is a little bit of work, it is a little bit of effort, these things freeze up really nicely. So you can make a big batch, keep out fresh what you're going to use right away, and then you can freeze the rest up. And they'll keep in the freezer for a couple of months. So the way my mom would make egg noodles is she'd take the 4 cups of flour, you take 4 eggs plus an extra egg yolk and salt. And you combine the salt and the flour first, and then you combine all of the eggs in the flour next. And I just get in there with my hands and mix it up with my hands. And what you're going to end up with ultimately is a very rich dough, because you're not using much water to make this pasta. So it's really going to be flour, salt, and eggs. But just the eggs, just the flour and the salt, you're going to get a really crumbly pasta that's not really going to have much hold it together consistency. So you do need to add a little bit of water to kind of give it that doughy consistency. And it doesn't take much. I don't know the exact measurement because it's always going to be a little different, but I just keep a little bowl of water nearby, and it probably only equals out, I don't know, a tablespoon of water, maybe 2. But when you add that water into the dough and you start kneading it, you just have to kind of strike a balance. You don't want it crumbly, but you don't want it sticky, soppy, wet either. So you kind of have to balance it out, adding flour and water until you get that right consistency. And this is going to work out your hand muscles and your wrist muscles, because kneading, it's a hard dough. Kneading it, you want to knead it for at least 5 minutes to get it good and mixed. It's going to tire you out. So just stick with it. It's tough, but it's worth it. Then my mom would take the dough. So it was kneaded out into one big dough ball. She would let that rest for, I don't know, 20 or so minutes. And then after that period, she would cut this big dough ball into four smaller sections. And then she'd work with one section at a time, and she'd flour the surface of the counter, you know, sprinkle flour on it and sprinkle the dough ball. And she'd kind of shape it in kind of an oval shape with her hands. And then she'd lay it out and use a rolling pin to roll out a larger round of dough. And she would roll it out until it was kind of to the thickness that she thought was appropriate for whatever she was making the noodles for. And these noodles, when you cook them, will plump up and absorb a lot of moisture. So you want to get them kind of thin if you can, not paper thin, but, and not even as thin as kind of the dried egg noodles you find at the store. But, you know, as thin as you can get it with a rolling pin, it's kind of hard. This is one of the places I cheat, and I actually use a hand cranked pasta maker where I can just feed the dough through and feed it through thinner and thinner until I get it to a consistency and get nice sheets of dough. It just works out a lot better for me. I never mastered the rolling pin technique like my mom did. But either way, once you get the round or your sheets of pasta rolled out, before you cut them in the noodles, you want to kind of dry them out a bit. And what my mom would do, which I still do, and there's probably a better way to do this now, but it just works, is I take a dish towel and a kitchen towel, and I lay it on the top of my stove, and then I preheat the oven to warm or 200 degrees or so, and then I just prop the oven door open. If yours won't stay propped open, you know, you can stick a wooden spoon in there or whatever, and I just kind of drape, I don't know, a third of the dough round or the sheet on the kitchen towel kind of over that open oven door, and I just kind of rotate it every few minutes until the heat, you know, you're not looking for a brittle dry dough, but you're just looking for something that's not tacky, not doughy, not sticky. So when you cut these into noodles, they're not going to stick together. And then when you kind of get the dough dry, she simply would just take the round and roll it up like she was making cinnamon rolls or something. She'd just roll it up, and then she would just cut the noodles with a knife to the thickness that she wanted. And that was it. They were ready to go. And again, if I'm feeling really lazy, I'll throw my attachment on my little hand crank pasta machine that will actually cut out noodles, and I can just feed the sheets through and it cuts out noodles. It doesn't quite look as rustic and handmade, but I mean, the effect is the same. Now, you can use these noodles anywhere for any recipe that calls for egg noodles. But as with any fresh pasta compared to a dried pasta, you don't need to use as much fresh pasta as dry, because it's going to plump up a lot more. It's going to expand a lot more when you cook them. So I typically, if I'm going to use these egg noodles in a recipe that calls for a certain quantity of dried egg noodles, I shoot for about 30% or so fewer of the fresh noodles, just because they're going to expand and plump up a lot more. So if you use the full amount that the recipe calls for, you're going to end up with something that's overly noodly, if that's a term. And of course, the other thing about fresh pasta, if you're going to make these, if you're going to cook them to add them to a casserole or something, these cook up very quickly. I mean, dried egg noodles probably take 8 or 9 or 10 minutes to cook. These are only going to take you a couple, 2 or 3 minutes to cook in boiling water. So they're going to cook up really quickly. So just be aware of that. And then if you do want to freeze the rest of the batch, which I recommend if you're not going to use them right away, because these won't stay in the fridge very well. They're going to get kind of moist and kind of gross. They're going to stick together. So either use them right away or freeze them. And if you do freeze them, I really recommend kind of tossing the noodles with flour so they don't stick together, and then layering them on a metal sheet pan in a single layer and throwing them in the freezer for 10 or 15 minutes before you transfer them to a freezer bag. And that will start them on the freezing process. So when you throw them in the freezer bag, they won't freeze together in one giant clump. And then you'll have these bags of egg noodles that you can just take out for the next couple of months and cook up as you need them. And they'll cook right from the freezer virtually the same as if they were fresh. They might need an extra minute in the water. So again, if you head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/7 for the show notes for this episode, I will have a link to the egg noodle recipe that I just kind of walked through briefly here. And I'll also toss up a few pictures of what kind of the different steps look like for the egg noodles to give you an idea of what it is you're looking for consistency-wise. All right, so you've just made up some totally kick-butt noodles, and you're really going to blow some people's minds when you whip these things out in your next dish, but you're probably thinking, great, I've made egg noodles now. What in the world am I going to do with them? So I thought I would do an add-on to the whole egg noodle concept and talk a little bit about chicken noodle soup. And if you want to do an entire chicken noodle soup from scratch, well, you're halfway there with the egg noodles. But all you need to do is go pick up a chicken at the store, because you're going to roast up a chicken. You're going to roast up some vegetables. And then from that, on the other end, you're going to make some stock. You're going to have everything you need to make an awesome chicken noodle soup. Now, as far as a chicken noodle soup recipe, I don't use a recipe, so I will probably find a couple of other people's recipes to link to in the show notes. But once you've roasted a chicken, once you've got your vegetables, once you've got the stock, you've got the noodles, there's really not much of a recipe to it. You put it all together in a pot, heat it up, and then chow down. But that being said, I do want to talk for a couple of minutes about roasting chickens and making stock, because whether you're making chicken noodle soup or not, the act of roasting a chicken and knowing how to make a good stock, that's going to serve you way more than just a egg noodle, chicken noodle soup. These are fundamental things you should really know how to do, because for one, chicken is really cheap, and roasting a chicken, you can feed a family of four, five, probably even six people with a roasted chicken for like $6. So that's a steal. You end up with a lot of meat. And then once you get all the meat off of that chicken, what's left of that chicken carcass, you can throw in a stock pot with some vegetables, some seasonings. You simmer that for a few hours, and then you've got an awesome chicken stock that you can use to add to soup, stews, sauces, whatever. It's a million times better than anything you can buy in the box in the store. So first of all, roasting chicken, a couple things to keep in mind. First of all, roasting chicken is ridiculously easy to do, and it's, again, something when you do it, it just looks like you've spent all day in the kitchen roasting up this awesome chicken, and it took you no time at all. But what you really need to get a hold of is a good roasting pan. At least I recommend that. You can use the foil things you buy in the store. That works fine, but you know, as you spend more time in the kitchen, I think chicken and roasting other meats and vegetables are going to become something you're going to do more often. So investing in a good roasting pan is a good idea, and they're not expensive. I mean, if you know, for $20 or $30 around Thanksgiving time, you can probably find a pretty decent one in most stores. And then the other thing about roasting chicken is you want to take all the stuff. You know, when you buy a raw chicken and you take it out of the bag, well, maybe you don't know. When you take it out of the bag, you're going to want to look in the cavity of the chicken. And the cavity, and sorry to be gross here, but the cavity is kind of where all the internal organs of the chicken were. Well, what the nice folks at Foster Farms or whatever do for you when they put a chicken to the market to sell is they take all that stuff and they put it back in the cavity. Like you'll find the heart and the liver and the gizzard and all that stuff, the giblets. You're going to want to take all that stuff out. Typically, I don't use that. There's nothing wrong with that stuff. They give it to you for a reason. You can use that stuff. You can find recipes for all that. But I usually just discard that stuff. But then I take a bunch of other stuff and I put it back in the cavity, because when that chicken is roasting, you can really add a lot of flavor to the chicken depending on what you put back into the cavity of that chicken. So the roast chicken recipe that I've used a couple of times now that I really like, I've adapted it from Ina Garten's recipe I found online. But you know, I throw an onion, salt, pepper, some rosemary, some thyme. You can throw some carrots. You could throw apples. You could throw lemon in there. You could throw all sorts of stuff, garlic, in the cavity of this chicken. And you just kind of take some butcher's twine and you tie the legs closed so the stuff stays in there. You don't have to learn how to truss a chicken all fancy, but just learn how to tie the legs shut. So when you roast it, it's gonna add a lot of flavor and aroma to that roast. So I'm going to put the recipe for a roast chicken in the show notes as well. And then on the other side of that, making stock, very easy to do. Again, you're going to want to find a pot that's going to be big enough to hold a chicken, hold some vegetables, and enough liquid to cover, because that's what you're going to need to do to make stock. And the key also to stock is it takes time on relatively low temperature. So you're going to get everything in there. I roast vegetables under the chicken. And I just like to take those vegetables after the roast, because they're kind of, if I'm not going to eat them with the chicken, And because they're kind of caramelized and the carrots get kind of brown and caramelized and the onions and the celery and stuff, I just throw that into the stock pot as well with the chicken. It really adds a little more flavor to the stock, I think, that roasted flavor. But another great tip over time as you trim vegetables in your kitchen, instead of throwing the trimmings away, you can throw those in a Ziploc bag and freeze them. And then when it comes time to make stock, you've got all sorts of interesting bits and pieces of vegetables that you can throw in the stock pot with the chicken or whatever else you're making stock from. But the recipe for the stock I'll put in the show notes as well. Just keep in mind with stock, it doesn't take any tending. You don't have to stand there and watch it. You could, but it just takes a lot of time. You know, I usually try to do my stock for at least 4 hours. 6 hours is great. You could even do it for up to 8 hours, but you're going to cook this stock at something that's just barely a simmer. When you're looking at the liquid, it's at a temperature where it's just a bubble occasionally rising to the top. It's not a boil. It's not, you know, the water's not circulating really rapidly. It's just hot enough to send a few bubbles up. That's the level you want to cook your stock at. And then when you're done with your stock, when it's ready, you just put it through a mesh a strainer. So you strain out all the bits and pieces and you're just going to end up with the liquid. And you can keep that in your fridge for a few days, or it also freezes well. So you can throw that into containers, put it in your freezer. So whenever you need some really flavorful stock, it's there for you, ready to go. So again, I'll put the roasted chicken and the stock recipe, how to make stock, in the show notes. I'll find some chicken noodle soup recipes for you. You're going to have the egg noodles. It sounds to me like you've got a pretty good weekend in store for you in the near future. All right, I'm going to wrap it up there. Thank you again for tuning in to the show. I really do appreciate it. I've said before, these are a lot of fun to put together. If you're getting some value out of this, if you like what you hear, I would encourage you to head over to iTunes if you would like and subscribe to the show so you don't miss any episodes. And while you're there, if you're so inclined, I would love it if you would leave me a review in the iTunes store. You can also listen to the show on Stitcher Radio. So if you're not an iTunes person, if you're not an Apple person, you're an Android person perhaps, you can download Stitcher and get to the show that way. And of course, you can always go to the website at kitchencounterpodcast.com. And I put the show up in the blog post there so you can read the show notes and listen to the show at the same time. And once again, if you'd like to reach out to me, if you have any questions or comments or you want to share some stories or recipes for the show, send me an email to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. Well, I'm really excited about sharing this egg noodle recipe with you, and I can't wait for you to give it a shot for yourself. If you do, I'd love to hear about it, so please get in touch with me and let me know how it went, or if you have any questions, I'm happy to help there too. Until next time, get in the kitchen, try something new, start making memories with your family and friends, because as I said before, you just don't have any idea how this may affect the ones you love down the road. I'm Roger Anderson with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Thanks for listening.